Okay, why don't we get started? I'll call the meeting to order at 12:02. This is David Corus, Board Chair. I'm going to start with roll call in no particular order. Grant Westerson.
Here.
John Johnson.
Here.
Paul Whitescarver.
Here.
Gaffney Fesco.
Here.
Brian Thompson.
Here.
Paul Hinch.
Here.
Doug Delana.
Here.
Felix Reyes.
Here.
Tom Patton.
Here.
Paul Robertson.
Virtually here.
Dave Perillo.
Here.
Tom Gill. Chuck Roman. John Carter. And Mayor Elker. Okay, with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 present, we have a clear and resounding quorum. Next, we'll move on to approval of the minutes from the December 19th regular meeting of the board. Moved by Grant. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by John. Any comments, questions, discussions, requested changes on the minutes? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, next item on the agenda is public comment. We'll start with folks in the room. Any members of the public who wish to speak at this time, please indicate by raising your hand. Tucker, yeah, go right ahead. Just introduce yourself and then
sure. Make a comment. My name is H. Tucker Braddock. And I am chair of the Knowledge Harbor Commission up in Knowledge, the end of the Thames River. I'm sure you're all familiar with it. And thank you so much for coming down to this area of the state. It's a pleasure to be at one of these meetings. And why I'm here is I'm in full support of the Port Authority and the with the Port Authority, the small harbor program, ship grant, and it's so important to us. We all, in the 29 towns, have our own integrity, and we want to keep that, and yet we want to have the Port Authority represent us really necessary. And I do hope that it will continue. We have had the opportunity twice now to use it, once to rewrite our plan, and secondly to put in some docks and pilings that have been that are very old, that were deteriorating and somewhat of a hazard to people that are using it. And the pilings have been put in, and we're just now waiting the docks. And for us, it creates a destination for people to see Knowledge and to come to the waterfront. And we fully support the Port Authority and the ship opportunity. And I will use my time to speak. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dr. Thanks for being a consistent voice in support of that program. Other members of the public who wish to speak at this time?
Sure, Kevin Blacker, I'd like to speak.
Yeah, so right ahead, Ms. Blacker.
So I'd like to offer congratulations to the board for pulling off the most expensive political photo op in the state's history, for completing the first phase of it. I think that when those costs, that $309 million or $309.5 million, if that ends up being the final cost, is considered, that the cost of excluding this area's small businesses, particularly forestry and agriculture, from access to the only deep water port in this region, that cost should also always be considered. I'll ask you again, as I did at a previous meeting, when deep water port updates are given, maybe you add another section of not quite deep water port updates, and that would be to account for the inland ports on the Thames, specifically those under development in Montville and Ledger. A lot of activity up there, as your board member, Paul Weitzgerber, could attest, in the town of Ledger with the Cashman development in Gateway with their redevelopment of Rock 10. I think it would be very helpful to have an update on that. I've been attending those meetings, haven't seen any anyone from the Port Authority there, so I'm not sure if that's something the Port Authority is watching closely or as closely as they should be. Moving down to the State Pier update, I'm told that Kiewit is still working on construction. What impact, I'm hoping that you guys will touch on what impact that might have on shipment of Revolution. Let's see, the delay of Charybdis, you know, a lot of public press you guys soaked up saying Charybdis was going to be there, and it's now been delayed. This is going to create some problems for you guys as barge loading is more susceptible to the weather. What impact that might have on scheduling, as it's been explained to me. Last thing I'd like to just bring up is number 12, new business, the Airport Authority merger, that the public might be given some indication of whether we should expect that this organization will continue to exist as it is now, or whether it's likely that it will be merged with the Airport Authority. What board members think about that? I know people like David Perillo, you know, among others, worked very hard to have this organization set up. They believe in this organization and the potential of it. So some discussion about that Airport Authority merger. Thank you.
Thank you. Other members of the public wish to speak at this time. In the room first. Okay, going online. The first person on the left there is Jen. Well, there's someone first. Oh, I'm about there. What does that say?
Myrna.
It's Mike Myrna from Sprague Energy.
Yeah, Mike, please go right ahead.
How are you doing?
Hi, Mike. Hi, Dave. It's this is Martha Klimas. I'm here with Mike. I work for Sprague Energy too.
Hey, Martha.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. So we just wanted to say that this is regarding the December 19th meeting, that we at Sprague Energy object to any deauthorization of the federal channel without knowing the impact on other waterfront commerce in Bridgeport waters. And we're concerned that the Connecticut Port Authority is supporting the deauthorization of the channel without having that input from other maritime users. And it could potentially have a detrimental impact on our business operations here. So that's our comment for today. We'd like you to discuss it further, maybe put it on next month's agenda.
Okay, thank you. Jeff, next comment.
Good afternoon. My name is Jeff Stedman. I'm a volunteer member of the board of the Connecticut Harbor Management Association. And I'm here just to express support for continuation of the SHIP program. Well, it was 10 years ago, I guess, that I was appointed by the legislature to serve on the Port Authority Working Group. So a number of us spent the better part of a year developing the recommendations for the programs of the Port Authority, including programs that would support all of the harbors in Connecticut. And the SHIP program is one of those. Any information that the board would like about the value of that program and how it's been used in other towns, we can provide that to you. And I know that there are towns that are finishing projects that were funded through your program that would like your representatives of your board to, I guess, when the weather gets warmer, to participate in programs to dedicate the completion of those projects. Another thing I'd like to bring up is that when the Port Authority was established, and you know, you took over programs that were managed by the Maritime Division of the DOT, there was a program that hasn't been continued, and that was the program to provide state-bonded funds to contribute to federal dredging projects. They couldn't expect the Congress to authorize the money. And there were several significant projects, one in the Mayanus River and Cass Cobb Harbor in Greenwich, and also the Housatonic River project, which I think was at that time the largest state-funded dredging project in Connecticut. So another thing for you to think about is the value of reinstituting that program, because I know there are a number of towns that have federal navigation projects that can't expect complete federal funding, and continuation of that program that the DOT Maritime Division had might be something you'd want to look at. And then going back to the Small Harbor Improvement Project program, that again, that doesn't apply because of the legislation to the three main ports. However, there are projects in those three main ports that are less significant and but still beneficial less significant than some of the projects you've funded in the small harbors. So I think doesn't seem quite fair that some of those projects are excluded from your funding programs because they're located in what are called the larger ports. But again, that's a legislative issue. And then the last thing I mentioned is there are 20, just again, for the purpose of providing information, there are 27 harbor management commissions in Connecticut at the last count, 26 plans and one in progress. And that one is most significant plan in progress in New London. And as you know, your board has the authority now to approve not only the harbor management plans that are first established, but also amendments to those plans. So our volunteer association looks forward to providing information to you and cooperating with you to best achieve your objectives, which are to support all of the harbors in Connecticut. So thank you very much for your time. And please let us know if there's any information that we can provide that will be helpful. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Any other members of the public wish to speak at this time? Either in the room
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, this is Bill Hurley from the Town of Fairfield Engineering Department. And I just want to thank the Port Authority for the previous grants, and that the town of Fairfield and other municipalities look forward to the opportunity to apply for another grant for a related or duly permitted project. And this is obviously in support of the SHIP Round 4 program.
Great, thank you.
All right.
Any other members of the public wish to speak at this time? Okay, moving on. And I should have mentioned at the outset, and thank you for some of the folks who commented for reminding me, there were a couple items that I wanted to just put out a marker that we were likely to ask folks to bring up during new business. There are a series of PIDP grant proposals that we would like to discuss that have recently come to the authority. I do want to amend some committee assignments, and we do want to provide an opportunity for the board to engage in an initial discussion around the proposed legislation regarding the Airport Authority. And so we will seek a majority to enable us to take those items up, which were not on the agenda previously. With that, we'll move into the Finance Committee report. Since our last meeting, we have held two meetings of the Finance Committee, one last month and one earlier today. I can certainly just briefly walk through the financial report, although I think it's probably more efficient to seek a question if anyone has it. Right now, we're projecting a surplus of well over $1 million. I think at quarter end, we're at $1.7 million. And so we are in certainly an operational transition now that the port is up and running and our various revenue streams are coming to fruition. We are doing, I think, a great job controlling costs. There was even some talk at the Finance Committee meeting about making sure that we do spend some of those budgeted funds on things like marketing and development, which we've been overly cautious about over the last couple of years. Now that we are in black, And you've seen us kind of draw down from the surplus for other ad hoc items like ILA training, which we're going to be seeking some further authorizations for at next month's meeting. But all in all, the financial position is very strong, and want to commend Faye on the reporting in accordance with all GAAP principles. Any questions or comments from anyone who is not on that committee on general financial statements before we move on to the two action items? Okay, two reports came out of that committee, one at last month's meeting and one at this month's meeting that we're going to seek approval for so that they can be submitted. I'll read the resolution, entertain a motion and second, and then we can have discussion. The first was approved at last month's finance committee meeting, which is the second quarter OFA report, Office of Financial Analysis. Resolved that the Board of Directors authorizes submission of the quarter two quarterly financial report to the Office of Fiscal Analysis as required by Section 1-123, subsection B of the Connecticut General Statutes, as recommended by the Finance Committee at its meeting held on January 16, 2024, in the form attached as exhibit to agenda item number 4A. Is there a motion? Moved by Grant, is there a second?
Second.
Second by Paul Whitescarver. Is there any comments, discussion, or questions? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, the next report was recommended for approval by the Finance Committee at this morning's meeting. Resolved that the Executive Director be and hereby is authorized, empowered, and directed for and on behalf of the Connecticut Port Authority to submit the annual report responsive to the Connecticut General Statute Section 1-123, subsection A, to the Governor and the Auditors of Public Accounts as recommended by the Finance Committee at its meeting held on February 20th, 2024. And as further described in the exhibit to agenda item number 4B, and to deliver any and all of the reasonable and necessary documents in furtherance thereof. Is there a motion?
So moved.
By John, second by Grant. Any comments, questions, or discussion? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, both reports unanimously approved for submission. There were no other committee meetings and no other committee reports since our last meeting. So with that, we'll move on to agenda item number 5, Executive Director's Report, and I'll hand it over to you, Ulysses.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I would like to begin this meeting by thanking the staff of the Parks Division of Connecticut D for the accommodations and outstanding accommodations and collaboration and support they have given us in terms of our ability to host this particular in-person meeting. I would also like to thank our board member, Brian Thompson, for initiating last week a very important meeting introduction. He introduced me to all of the important really division heads and units who are going to be working with, that we work with and will be working with in the future. I really appreciate you taking the initiative to do that because it means a great deal in terms of strengthening the coordination and collaboration between our organizations. So thank you so much for that. When it comes to the administration and operations of the CPA, the past 2 months have been eventful, they've been exhilarating, they've been exhaustive. But thanks to the really the addition of our office manager, Jill Moreno, it's been refreshingly manageable. She is also, when it comes to improving our records management systems, along with other systems, and also when it comes to the improving the administration of this and our support of the board and the board and the commission of the Power Commission, she's just made a huge difference in that respect. When it comes to some of the activities that have taken place and accomplishments, initiatives over the course of the past 2 months. You might recall that the state's attorney general issued an opinion, a closing of an opinion on the whistleblower investigation into the CPA. They concluded that the CPA, of course, had done absolutely nothing illegal. Additionally, Eversource announced an impending sale this summer of its 50% share of South Fork and Revolution Wind projects. to global international partners. And that closing, as I indicated, is anticipated to be this summer. Also, the governor introduced legislation that would make the CPA a subsidiary of the Connecticut Airport Authority if passed by her legislation. In addition, Kathy Levante, who completed her temporary assignment in January, she was on loan to us from the Connecticut Department of Transportation and served as the on-site manager for the construction project. Jay Cashman, a marine dredging and construction company, has approached the CPA about becoming a non-federal government sponsor, and I plan to probably talk a little more about that perhaps later on under new business. With respect to Crosstown Ferry, Crosstown Ferry decided to actually cancel a MARAD grant that the CPA was a co-sponsor of, or a non-federal sponsor, I should say, of, due to increased costs and planned infrastructure improvements at Crosstown Ferry. However, they're going to be reapplying for MARAD grant this particular round of grants for that particular project, and we intend to also continue to support them as well. You may have noticed we've stepped up also our media and communications coverage. Frequent media roundups that you're receiving now from Jill is evidence of that. And Jill is also, as I indicated, been working very diligently on other aspects of the operation, including the CPA's website. So we are actually making some improvements there as well. We've held several meetings with persons from the and communities with respect to our SHIP program. I also met with Jeff Stedman several times over the course of the past couple of months, and he's been very, very helpful. Jeff is really a consultant to a number of towns and communities, local communities, with respect to their harbor studies, commissions, and has been just a tremendous asset and a tremendous support in terms of the dredging projects, as well as any project that are related to SHIP. I recently joined also the Long Island Sound Area Maritime Security Committee, as well as the Offshore Wind Strike Force New London Group. Participated also in successful state peer labor management agreement spearheaded by our own chair, Chairman Kurz, and he was also supported through the masterful solicitation and facilitation, I should say, by Matt Satnick. Matt Satnick, who is with Instructure, which is the parent company of Meeting Way Terminal. The hiring of a maritime manager continues to be a very high priority as well. And we're working with the New Haven Port Authority regarding a CPA pass-through of bond funding for the expansion of rail at the harbor and New Haven. And here today also to support all of that is the director of the New Haven Port Authority, Sally Cruz, is with us here today. When it comes to financial management, our finance department, under the eagle eye of the finance director, Ayola Haynes, and our office historian, our fiscal administrative assistant, Lori Epler, they continue to track and confirm the financial integrity and growth of the Connecticut Port Authority through their monthly reports and support of the board's finance committee. That department has also prepared the financial reports and the financial report for the quarter ending December 31 of 2023, and this report was approved that our chair already indicated was approved by the finance committee and was today, of course, approved by this board. You also today also approved the OFA report that was prepared by the finance committee as well. There's nothing new to report regarding state auditors of public accounts at this time. So I'll move on now to state compliance reporting. As you well know, we have been and are required to file a number of reports, state reports in terms of compliance. They are listed on page 3 of my report. I won't go through all those reports, but I will say that all of our reports are up to date. We are up to date with all reports and reporting. It also will see in your packet, I should also note, I provided a memorandum to the board of directors regarding an annual internal workforce analysis for fiscal year 2023. That is also part of your packet. With respect to procurement, the contract that you approved at the last meeting has been executed for legal services with Robinson and Cole. Now let's move on to the New Haven Harbor Navigation Improvement Project. It is recently dredging and a dredging project. And on January 23rd, on January 3rd of 2023, the authority signed a design agreement with Army Corps of Engineers for the deepening of the main shipping channel and turning basin. The design is expected to take approximately 2 years to complete and will incorporate the state-of-the-art ship simulations, subsurface exploration, and geotechnical borings, and development of several beneficial use of dredged material areas within the harbor. Since the execution of this design agreement, the Corps has worked with members of the Connecticut Pilots Association to incorporate real-world experience into the final layout of that channel turning basin. The Corps design team is currently in the process of awarding a subsurface survey and geotechnical boring contract. Moving on to the Fort Trumbull State Pier, this is our Fort Trumbull Pier 7 project. This is another priority, and the authority has engaged GZA, Geotechnical Environmental, to conduct consulting engineering design solutions for repairs and modifications to this particular structure that's right outside here. The Pier 7 construction, Pier 7 was constructed in 1965 by the Navy and is now owned and operated by the state of Connecticut. It is also in very, very poor condition at this point in time. The goal of the project is to rehabilitate Pier 7 and improve its existing infrastructure. We began hosting monthly meetings, that is, the authority began hosting monthly meetings in January of this year with stakeholders of the pier, and the group has decided that the project will initially address the structural integrity of the pier to support tall ships and off-sail, which is scheduled now for 2026. We're using that right now as a time. We are coordinating this project with Connecticut D as well. We will be reporting on more as we go along this year, because this is a priority, another priority of ours as well. Four of our board members are assisting us in this effort and making a tremendous contribution. John Johnson, Mayor Passero, Brian Thompson, and our new member, Paul O. Robertson. We thank you also for your assistance in this regard. When it comes to ship programs, we also provided in your packet information regarding Ship 3 in particular, because that is the most recent ship project and program. But the CBA has distributed the grant agreements awarded to all of the Ship 3 municipalities for execution. I also thank everyone who spoke on behalf of the ship program, because today I'm also coming before this board to suggest and to request, if you will, your approval for us to be in a position to initiate ship four, round four, this year. As a matter of fact, this quarter. We would like to, from a timeline standpoint, get you the applications in March, have those applications submitted to the CPA by July 1, have a committee of the CPA do the rating and selection by August 1, so that we can go before the Bonds Commission in August in support of the program. When it comes to the statewide dredging study, that we call this the planning Assistance to States program, because it is also something that we are working with the Army Corps on behalf of the Army Corps with. The study will analyze the dredge material needs and placement sites in Connecticut in support of overall statewide coastal dredge material management planning. The non-federal sponsor is the Connecticut Port Authority, who cross-shares this study with the Corps on a 50-50 basis. The study itself will identify a short list of proposed placement methods and sites of greatest need over the next 25 years. Progress to date includes the completion of this, and that happened, as a matter of fact, this month, the completion of a detailed project management plan called the PMP, which was reviewed by and finalized by not only the Corps, but the CPA, along with Connecticut DEEP. Now that that PMP has been completed, the next step in the study is for the Corps to work very closely with both DEEP as well as the CPA to compile the detailed list of dredging needs throughout the Connecticut coastline and characterize the dredge materials over the course of this year. Moving on to the Connecticut Pilot Commission. Connecticut pilot licenses for 2024 have all been issued to all six of our pilots. And at the January meeting, the commissioners approved and recommended, if you will, the approval of an extension of route for Captain Donald Toby for the waters of Western Long Island Sound, east of City Island Stepping Stones. That has now been incorporated. I have signed that particular license and also added that extension of route. At the board's October meeting, you approved an electronics use policy governing the use of mobile telephones, texting, emails while engaged in piloting. We also issued a notice of intent to adopt an electronics use policy and published it in the Connecticut Law Journal for 30 days as required. That 30-day period ended on January 11th, and we're going to be asking you to also approve, if you will, the electronic use policy as part of that process. When it comes to education and community outreach, as you well know, that's one of the most important aspects too of our operation. If in fact we're going to be in a position to not only change the narratives but improve narratives, if you will. So in January of 23, I presented at the Connecticut League of Conservation Voters to their 2024 Environmental Summit. It was an opportunity to demonstrate the role that the state of Connecticut and the CPA are playing in the decarbonization of our nation. January 29, we were joined at the pier by members of the Experimental Aircraft Association, Chapter 344, as well as the New London Harbor Commission, for a briefing and tour of the transformed State Pier. Briefings and tours will continue this spring. Of course, the weather is not only warmer, but also as we start to ramp up for Revolution Wind as well. On March 5, I will be presenting also to the Norwich Power Squadron, a boating organization. And in April, we may also participate in the Earth Day Expo at Groton Public Library. Mr. Chairman, that is the extent of my report. At this time, I will come back, of course, with other reports relative to State Pier and other matters.
Great. Thank you, Ulysses. Any questions or comments for Ulysses on anything in the Executive Director's report? Okay, moving on to the Deepwater Ports update, we'll start with New London and we'll begin with a construction update on State Pier and then a brief action item related there too. So I think Ulysses, you're going to start and then we'll call up Marlon.
Sure, yes. Great. Marlon, you want to join us as well?
Marlon Peterson from Owner's Rep, AECOM, Construction Administrator on the project, who You've all heard from before, but maybe the first time some of you are seeing the person.
Good to be here. There are three things basically I'd like to report on with respect to an update and highlight the status of the project. First, what I will call a major Super Bowl equivalent milestone has been achieved relative to the transformation on the state pier in Port New London in bringing new clean energy industry to America. I'm talking about the marshaling of all offshore wind turbines at the state pier for the South Fork Wind Project that has been now completed. The last turbine left the pier on Friday for South Fork, and that to me and for all of us is a major, major accomplishment. I want to also congratulate the construction and operations workers who made this all possible, and also congratulate Connecticut. Several of those members are here today, 1411 that are here today. They played a major role in this, and we were so happy that they were back and have been able to come back to this period to, again, help us and support Connecticut in this effort. So thank you so much. To date, as I indicated, 12 turbines have been delivered to the installation site. Not only have 12 turbines been delivered, but 11 have been installed, and 7 today are actually generating clean wind power and electricity to the grid of residents and businesses in New York. Secondly, since the arrival of towers, nacelles, and blades, we have been in a new phase of the project where construction and terminal operations are being simultaneously coordinated to accommodate the scheduling demands of each. To date, just north of 75% of the acreage has been turned over for operations. Our near-term objective is to achieve 100% turnover of the terminal operations by early quarter of the second quarter of this year. In time for the 65 turbines for Revolution Wind Project, which will provide clean, sustainable power for the state of Connecticut and Rhode Island. Third, as I reported previously, concurrent with the increase of terminal operations, construction activities for January and February have continued at three distinct locations, including South Wall, State Pier Platform, as well as the State Pier Toll Wall. Also noted previously, these specific areas have been challenging due to existing conditions associated with deep obstructions and variable higher rock elevation. Nevertheless, to date, 97% of the value of work has been completed, and completion of the construction remains scheduled for early second quarter. Additionally, in quarter two, it is anticipated that resolution of the punch list items and work will require warm temperatures for a successful application. Also, we will be dealing with completion of as-built drawings, provision of warranties, and other closeout documents during that time. I'm going to turn this over now to Marlon, who is our construction administrator, for a more detailed report regarding the technical aspects of the project.
Thank you, Executive Director, and good afternoon, Board. Simply like to say, in summary, I look forward to this being one of the very last updates you get regarding State Pier. With that said, again, success does continue to be achieved across multiple construction and operational fronts. First and foremost, electrical equipment, such as our transformers, our marine pedestals, which are for future shore power. Disconnect switches, panel boards have all been set on our critical equipment platforms. Wiring and terminations have been completed. Testing and commissioning of those systems are underway this week, We expect to complete by the end of the month, which will enable full power to the entire terminal. And just like if you get your house, if you have permanent power, you know, you're one step away from finishing. So we're very excited about achieving that objective.
Well, I've got to just remind folks, please, there were certain components that were on significant delay because of supply chain issues. And so this is, you know, we have been incrementally energizing the site, but it's a pretty significant milestone to finally have those last components arrive, some of which were
18 plus months for transformers and other electrical. Okay. All coming out of supply chain issues that we've heard about for many, many months. Thank you. Thank you, Chairman. Second, following completion of, I think the executive director mentioned the south wall, combi wall, pipe and sheet pile, the concrete cap, which sits on top and forms the very southern end of the terminal as we see it. That bulkhead has been completed with the cap placed, the balance of the tie rods, the connection to the anchor wall that we've talked about a great deal. They have been completed. It's allowing the balance of the storm drainage piping to outfall number 4 to be installed. The tie into the historic CVRR West return, and finally the commencement of the balance of the backfill, which will create the central wharf, which was the 7-acre fill program that we started 2+ years ago. All of that is going to be expected to be complete by the end of last week of February, first week of March, with fibro compaction for that area, which again will then allow the final grading, placement of the DGA, which is our top surface layer, dense graded aggregate, if you would. And again, what started in December of 22, if I recall, with the approvals, December 21, with the approvals of filling those 7 acres, will now come to a completion. And that creates what you've seen on site, the space to do the actual staging, storage, pre-assembly of all of the components by linking those two terminals or the 2 piers together. So very big accomplishment coming up in the next several weeks. Third, vessel access requires dredging. The remaining 16,000 cubic yards of the sediment resumed this earlier in February. And as of this evening and continuing for the next couple of days will be complete. So again, another major milestone, our dredging will be completed prior to the end of the month, which is consistent with our permit requirements. So
I'll remind folks on that too, right? So we did the vast majority of the dredging last year. There was a chunk of dredging, I think it was about 10% of the total, right, that we weren't able to do last year because of ongoing activity at the tow wall, the underwater retaining wall at the eastern edge of State Pier. That final 10% of dredging is 90% done and will be done by the end of the month.
And that is one of, you've heard us talk before, that one of the unique attributes of State Pier is that it will have 2 heavy lift platforms. They don't exist elsewhere in the U.S. at this point in time, able to handle upwards of 5,000 pounds per square foot. A gentleman behind me there with the unions, they're the ones who ultimately lift and handle those components. So they can talk about the unique characteristics of length and weight and what that requires. So multiple picks, very exciting to see. And of course, helping create the new industry, if you would. Lastly, State Pier, the heavy lift platform and the tow wall. The final benders, bollards, and ladders are in progress. The tow wall, as we've talked about for at least a year, hard driving and obstructions do continue to impede productivity. We are down to our last 20. So out of some 1,000 plus, we are nearly there. The contractor's means and methods of installing the 42-inch diameter pipe piles and the sheet piles has been impacted by the dense sediment, the cobbles and the obstructions, and occasional boulder. They've used augers, chisel beams, digging buckets, and ultimately drill rigs in order to reach the design compliant tip so that ultimately those heavy lift platforms can withstand the necessary weight in a safe manner to handle that cargo. Contractor ultimately is having success through the combination of these measures. And as noted, I think, by the executive director, we expect to complete the pile driving in the next 2 weeks. So, you know, our golden date for pile driving is March 6th or earlier. So we're here on the 20th. My greatest statement to this board is the next time you meet, state pier pile driving should be well in our rear view mirror. So that's what we look forward to. Following those tow wall sheets, again, the violence of the bollards, fenders, ladders, so that the facility can be utilized. We will go through the final grading, VGA placement, and substantial completion is anticipated to occur during the month of March, with the balance of the entire site being turned over for operations in the month of April. Following then, substantial completion is highlighted by, the final completion is highlighted by the executive director. So again, we look forward to a very productive next 4 to 6 to 8 weeks and transitioning to complete operations for these gentlemen and not to the construction team.
Questions, folks?
I guess I have one question on pile driving because that did increase the cost of the project. Is there anything, when you look back, is there anything that could have been done to identify that beforehand? I mean, I know we always do surveys to do these things.
Mm-hmm. Sure, and we did surveys. In hindsight, yes. I think we, as I will talk in other forums to American Association of Port Authorities, et cetera, the criteria are exceptionally tight for this type of heavy lift platform. Again, what you see in a container terminal, those decks are 1,000 PSF, so this is 5 and 6 times that strength, which means the tolerances are very tight. You need to get the pile all the way down to the necessary dense surface. You can't leave it short if you would, must get. So plan up front for drilling and driving is probably the number one recommendation, if you would, because at the end of the day, there are going to be elements that you're going to need to move through. And so planning for that is, again, you don't do that in a typical terminal, but in this special kind of facility, I think that's probably the one I'll be telling most of the teams to plan for, so that they have it built in and to load the schedule.
So how far did you have to drive the piles?
Typically, the pipe piles, the 42-inch, are driven to plus and minus 80 feet, minus 80 feet in elevation, the piles are minus 60. The deck is at plus 9, so it gives you an idea, fairly deep. And the interesting part of State Pier, every site is unique, but we have, you have the rock ledge that creates the Long Island Sound. You also have a rock ledge that creates the Thames River. And guess where the two like to meet? Right at the nook of what we call the Northeast Annex, where the two come together. Right there. That's why it was built there by 100 some years ago. And we struggled to rebuild it and put a unique facility on. So someone can learn.
So how long are you going to warranty it?
The good thing about construction in ports is that it is there for 50 to 70 years, just as the existing facility has been used for decades as well. So, great questions. Thank you.
And some of the piles under the platforms were even deeper.
It's a filled in the middle and then it slopes off under.
Other questions?
Maybe 85 feet, I think, is maybe the deepest.
Yeah.
It just is an interesting comment. We talk about the strange things that you found in the the huge project happened because of that. And 10 minutes earlier, we're talking about deepening New Haven.
Yes.
We're talking 35 to 40 feet. We're talking down to 60 feet. But this makes you think, what are we going to run into over there?
Again, make sure you have comprehensive existing condition surveys.
Okay. Any other questions? Great. Okay, we do have one action item, and I don't know, Ulysses or Marla, which one of you is going to walk through the water main issue. Marla, don't go anywhere yet.
Yep. This is water.
Sorry. It's still on fire. I'll give the shortest introduction, and then Marla can go into detail. But I think I can explain it pretty clearly. In working closely with the city on making sure that we have water delivery to the site, particularly as it relates to fire suppression, we ultimately have come to a solution that deviates a bit from what our original intention was, to plug into the water main in a second location that will provide more robust service than the first location. And we ultimately concluded that rather than doing that work through Kiewit and paying for the overhead and frankly distracting them from the core work at hand, that we would contract for that work directly. And so Marlon can describe more details about what that project is and how we went through the pricing to make sure that this was competitive, but we are proposing to directly contract with that work rather than modifying Kiewit's contract to include that work.
I think you hit all the high parts. cost savings, schedule certainty, keeping the main contractor focused on the work at hand to finish. Their work was done. We connected into the original system. And when the fire marshal came on site, we didn't have adequate pressure, if you would, for firefighting across the terminal up to the vessel side. So it was decided to increase capacity. Therefore, we needed to modify that connection from one hose to a bigger hose, if you would, bigger fire hydrant, which means we have to reroute about 300-350 feet of pipe, something like that. So we used DAS's list, and we received not only pricing from Kiewit, but three or four others. And Cisco submitted the lowest cost at, I think it's 197 versus numbers that were in 350,000 to 550,000, plus guarantee, plus provided us a schedule that enabled completion of these works consistent with the overall completion date. So from a schedule compliance, compliant bid, Cisco is our recommended entity, contracting directly with the CPA, and the CA will oversee the works, which will take about 10 days to get the piping, the connections, the fittings, and then about 3 to 4 weeks to install.
And just to give folks a sense of where this work is, the remaining warehouse on site, it is on the north side of that warehouse where there's an access road. It's currently the construction access, which is peripheral to the terminal. And so, you know, there will be necessary coordination with the construction team, but we're confident that we can do it.
It's a northern edge of the site.
Northern edge of the site, kind of just in the shadow of the bridge and the access road. All right, I'll read a resolution, entertain a motion second, and then we can discuss. Resolve that the agreement with Cisco LLC for construction services for a permanent water main connection for the fire protection system at the State Pier for an aggregate amount not to exceed $197,000, as further described in the exhibit attached, agenda item number 6, subsection A, subsection 2, is hereby approved, and the executive director being hereby authorized, empowered, and directed for and on behalf of the authority to negotiate, execute, deliver such agreement and any of the all reasonable necessary documents in furtherance thereof. Is there a motion? Motion by Grant. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Paul. Comments, questions, or discussion?
What was the reaction by Kiewit when they found out that we were pulling outside of them?
They questioned us. They questioned why.
Okay.
And we told them schedule and price. And so they accepted that, but you know, they would prefer to have just completed it. They did it once, so get them to come back
the second time. They would have liked to have done it with the overhead, but I think one of the big parts of the challenge was the way in which they wanted to phase it, like kind of working their way out from the site, which would have meant that this would lag. And in deference to the city fire's requests, we wanted to be expeditious, and if we could also get a cost savings, it was
sure
pretty
win-win situation.
Yeah.
And a shout out to the city fire marshal and their cooperation. It's been tremendous. Thank you so much, Mr. Mayor. You know, your staff, they have been great to work with and deal with.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other questions or comments? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Next harbor is Bridgeport. And Ulysses, I believe you have a guest who is going to share something.
Yes, Harry Boyson. Harry, you're available there?
I'm available. How are you?
Oh, good, good. From Boltwoods. And Harry's going to fill us in on some of the activities that are taking place in Bridgeport.
Folks will probably recall, sorry, Harry, before I hand it over to you, folks will probably recall Director Shipyard in Bridgeport, which was a big recipient of state support, had a couple monumental projects in the early 2000s, early to mid-2000s. I believe they shut down around 2011 or 2012. I think it was when I was first getting into Bridgeport. And I could say, just to give a little editorial, right, as the former planning and development director for the city of Bridgeport, former Bridgeport Port Authority member, we did not think that that was ever going to become a shipyard again the way that it was dismantled during the bankruptcy. I mean, it really took a tremendous amount of work. And Harry Bortson from this part of the state came in and launched Bridgeport Boat Works. And it is really just incredible, the investment that they've made in that property and how it has turned around. It is more active than ever and a very pinnacle of the state's commercial maritime economy. So, Harry, with that, sorry to drag out the introduction, but...
No, I appreciate it. You can take it the rest away if you'd like. Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. I've just got a really easy responsibility is to give you a brief description of what we've been up to in Bridgeport. We reopened, as David said, the former director site about 5 years ago. And then soon after reopening it, this lovely thing called COVID hit. So we not only were rekindling a dormant shipyard, but we did it in the beginning of what would be a 2-year pandemic. So when I say we turned 5 this summer, I really feel like we turned 3. We're giving ourselves a 2-year credit to rekindling this thing. But the bottom line is, so Bridgeport Boat Works, again, former director facility, after about 5 years of substantial private investment, we've stood up 3 new travel lifts at the site, rekindled the facility. We have lifting capacity up to 700 tons. We stood up a 700-ton travel lift about 15 months ago. Our first winter of operation, we had 9 customers, and I can tell you that that was a very, very long winter, but I'm happy to report, 5 years in here, we're now into the hundreds. We signed a long-term lease with the Hornblower Group. A few years ago, the largest private ferry operator in North America. They now call Bridgeport Boat Works their home for a lot of their in-house service and maintenance requirements for their own fleet in the Northeast, including others. We've reestablished the yard. We've diversified the yard. We brought over 100 jobs back to the facility proudly. We employ a lot of people locally. We hire from within the city of Bridgeport, which has been wonderful. We've established some educational arrangements with Porter and Chester Institute and others. We fund scholarships to try and generate workforce development in the area. But the reality is that we kind of took this quiet harbor, and along with what's happening at Steel Point, kind of co-developing the entire area together, and we've really come a long way. So when we saw this meeting coming up for Bridgeport here, unfortunately it was canceled, but we'll catch you on the next one. We were excited to talk about what we're up to. Sometimes Bridgeport's like the forgotten harbor in Connecticut, and with what is going on at Steel Point as far as the retail development, the marina, the waterfront amenities, the soon-to-be constructed residential component. And then when you shift gears over to the shipyard and what we're up to, not only from a retail side of things, but a commercial aspect with our ferry company and others, we've really just reignited this asset that we always wondered why it was laying dormant for so long. It wasn't a light switch. It didn't turn on overnight. But after a lot of hard work with a lot of dedicated folks, a lot of support from the city, The city has really been wonderful since day one. I know Tom Gill is not here today, but he was one of the, you know, one of the early adopters of our ridiculous idea to rekindle this thing. So things are going very well. We are happy to report that we were the recipient of a MARAD grant in 2023 that we went after for the last few years and on a parallel path while reopening the shipyard and developing our core business. This offshore wind industry seemed to be attractive for the property, given its geographical location, its capacity. So for the last number, we've been slowly and quietly chipping away at a potential O&M operation at the facility. So we, in partnership with the Bridgeport Port Authority, went after a MARAD grant that we happily received this year. We're currently going through our environmental assessments and all the homework, if you will, to complete the grant application. So in a very few short moments here with you guys, I'm happy to report that, you know, we went from a very quiet, empty, cold shed with no heat, internet, or running water to over 100 jobs and probably a dozen or more companies working on site on a daily basis, plus more from around the area and the region. So, you know, we've come a long way from that 9 customer winter to where we are today. So that's my quick spiel, and I don't want to take up too much of your time. I appreciate you guys having
me. That's great. Thanks, Harry. And I think, you know, we did hope to do today's meeting in Bridgeport. I think we're going to aim for the next one. If we can try to figure out, a way with being responsive to public and FOIA, we would love to get folks on the site, you know, some site and some board members through there. You know, Bridgeport is a place that I know the CPA has always talked about trying to do more. We've been, you know, aggressively supporting the dredge, which is now kind of peeking up over the horizon and finally approaching. And I think there might be some other opportunities to support what Boatworks and others are doing. And so we want to give an opportunity for the board to explore those further over the coming months.
Any questions? I can happily extend an invitation to y'all. I'd be happy to host a meeting like this. If we can put it together. If you put the mechanics together, we'll supply the coffee and donuts. How's that?
That's great. Questions or comments from anyone? Well, congratulations, Harry. It really is incredible what you've been able to achieve, and we look forward to hopefully having our next meeting at Bridgeport.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Anything else related to Bridgeport that anyone wants to bring up? I would have invited our, I don't think the folks from Spray are on there anymore. Okay, anything else on Bridgeport? Okay, New Haven.
Hi, everyone. Sally Cruz from the New Haven Port Authority. So the big news, most of you on the board know that we've been trying to purchase properties, vacant properties from DOT for a decade more. And it's really exciting that as soon as we can get all of the people together, potentially even this Friday or maybe next week, it'll be done. And people will, I promise drinks to people who've been suffering through this since before I got hired. It really has been a long road for a lot of people. To that end, our accountants, when they did our fiscal year 2022-23 audit, financial statements suggested that we develop an asset capitalization policy, not for the property itself, but for example, Willow Fence. So we'll have to figure out how to depreciate that. So we're in, you know, it's new in many ways. We are going to do with it, at least immediately, what we've always done with our property, which is lease it out to port operators. Multiple port operators are waiting for the opportunity. So Ulysses mentioned working on a grant, a pass-through grant for rail infrastructure. It's specifically for a master plan that would include studies of how to implement, expand rail infrastructure in the Port of New Haven. And I've been working on something that I at least call a grant agreement, but some sort of documentation between us and you so that when we start, we all know what we're doing. So that will be something you'll see. But please comment, and then hopefully please ultimately approve it so we can all move on. USC's also mentioned the dredge material management planning aspect. I know that the Army Corps is proposing to create a CAD cell in New Haven Harbor as part of the dredging project. So one of the things they need is volumes, anticipated dredge volumes for the next 20 years. I know that certain of the port operators, terminal owners, are in progress, one's done, and I'm keep nudging all the others. As part of the closing, we actually cleaned up a piece of property. The kudos really go to the city. They did the lion's share of the dog work, the dog's work on it, but it was a place where people had been dumping tires and leaving vehicles. And it is as of last week cleaned up. So new fencing for that area too. And otherwise, let's see. There's stuff going on, but nothing that really needs to be elaborated, especially since I'm trying to be brief. So
just one question for me.
Sure.
The planning process, are you doing procurement simultaneous to the agreement?
We
did the RFP.
So we have the proposal. So
okay.
We're not going to select the final person or write a contract with them until we know.
Got it. But you have the people
yes.
in place. Good. And their pricing is how?
All over the board. I mean, there's an almost
$400,000. Timing wise, that they'll hold their pricing until.
Probably there'll be some adjustments.
Yeah.
That being said, we're going to evaluate based on the months that came in
yep.
at the same time.
Yep. Good. Any other questions or comments for Tom? Okay. All right, moving on to item 7, Small Harbor Improvement Project Program, round 4 initiation. I think Ulysses described it enough that I will jump into the resolution and we can ask any questions or comments once we motion and second. Resolve that the executive director is authorized, empowered, and directed for and on behalf of the authority to initiate Small Harbor Improvement Project Program SHIP Round 4 pursuant to Public Act 15-5, Section 16, Section 13B through 56, Subsection B, and take such reasonable and necessary actions as are reasonably required in furtherance thereof. Is there any motion? Second by Paul. Discussion, comments, questions?
Was there a level that we were going to bond for? I don't really recall that.
So we're authorized at $5 million per year. We have not used it in its entirety every year. So we have never had responsive requests in excess of funding availability. But the second step, once we procure and select, would be to go to Bond Commission with the request for the cumulative amount, which could draw from multiple years authorizations or lag funding available from prior authorizations. But think about it in the 5 range.
We ever market this or put some kind of it's a great program. I think a lot of people have benefited from it, but I don't know that a lot of folks really know about it.
We've been working on that list, an expansion of the list, and we have updated it also in terms of, you heard today, speaking of, I think it was Jeff, talking about 27 commissions, harbor commissions. Well, we've located not only those commissions, but we've also now located who to actually send this material to, the applications. So we've updated that, and we're looking to basically fan down the outreach, if you will. All the communities and any community that is eligible will be notified.
Just wonder if maybe we might want the different council of governments
mm-hmm. council
along
governments.
Those. You know, if we
yep.
could maybe send out some type of announcement
right.
to them.
No, that's a good one.
Yeah. Okay.
We can include that. If you have any others, please. Yeah. Send a raven over. Yeah. Okay.
Other comments or questions? Yeah, Mayor.
Good morning. Welcome to the London, everyone. Make sure you stop and have lunch before you leave.
Yes, sir.
So I know I can go back long enough to when this the original Port Authority set up this small harbor improvement grant fund. And I just need to point out to the board some of the inequities and unintended consequences, which is New London shares the Thames River Harbor here, the Port of New London, with the City of Groton. But the City of Groton qualifies for this program. The City of New London does not. And there's not the nature of New London's harbor, the downtown district, Shaw's Cove, marinas down along Pequot Avenue are not much different than many of the small harbors that you call them small harbors that you that qualify for this program. But New London doesn't. I think that's an inequity that you have to address. Right now, we have a situation in Shaw's Cove. We have two businesses, two marinas in Shaw's Cove that desperately need a dredging project to get underway. And the city isn't in a position, you know, to be able to fund that. And our nascent, we are just forming the Harbor Management Commission. Well, we've had a Harbor Management Commission. We haven't had an official plan. We're knocking on the door with the DEP. I think we're at the finish line pretty much to get our plan adopted, but both, you know, our Harbor Management Commission is not in a position to be able to fund that operation. So I think this program should be opened up or modified somehow to address those inequities.
We talked about it a bit this morning, actually, at Finance Committee, because we did a ship update, and we totally agree. We talked about something as simple as saying, you know, as long as it's not on state-owned property or harbor dredging, then any of the smaller projects should be eligible, just like in any other community. So,
isn't that one of our, in the statute, aren't we required to give some type of, every year, some type of, these are the policy changes that we think that should be addressed?
Yes, it would be.
Yeah,
absolutely.
David or Ulysses, I wonder, I mean, the question I have is, barring a, you know, a legislative change to the language that explicitly accepts, you know, the three big ports, what other authority do we have? Is there statutory authority for bonding for the Port Authority for us to ask the bond commission to finance the finance small projects in these three ports?
Yes. Yes. So there's basically two buckets of bonding authority. There's SHIP, which carves out the three big, and then there's harbor dredge. It's kind of a broad catch-all. It's where we fund State Pier. It's where we fund the local match for New Haven Harbor Dredge. It's where we fund any number of those things. The challenge has always been getting authorizations within that pot disconnected from the bigger projects. So that is an alternative approach. An alternative approach would be to earmark funds within that pot for smaller projects within Bridgeport, New Haven, and New London, or slightly modify the language governing the SHIP program to enable smaller projects within the three deep water ports for eligibility.
Thank you.
Other comments, questions? Mayor, I don't think you have any opposition from us. We just got to get it done.
Yeah,
thank you. Yeah. Okay, all those in favor of launching SHIP round four, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, the next one should be a quick one. As Ulysses mentioned in his executive director's report several months back, we approved the electronics use policy for the pilots. It had to go through the law review public notice process that has now completed. It has now come back to us, and you're asked to approve it for a second time. So I will read the resolution. Motion second. Resolved that the Board of Directors hereby accepts and adopts the electronics use policy as published in the Connecticut Law Journal, Volume 85, Number 24, on December 12, 2023, as described in the four attached hereto as the exhibit to agenda item 8A. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by John. Is there a second? Second by Graham. Any questions, comments, or discussion? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, next item on the agenda is a proposed termination of the memorandum of agreement between DAS and CPA. I can start and then Ulysses, you can add. Long story short, DAS reached out. They looked back through our MOU with them. It was very state peer support specific. It named individuals at DAS who are no longer at, actually none of the named individuals at DAS are at DAS any longer. And they have not provided project support in quite some time. You'll all recall that we kind of paid for those services probably about a year ago and have not used them since. And so there didn't seem to be a reason to keep the MOU going. And so they have proposed, and Ulysses and I agreed to take it to you all to sunset that MOA.
What services do they provide us?
So there was a time, the primary service that they provided was they oversaw the construction manager procurement process. So the draft, the writing of that RFP, the interviewing, that whole process was led by them.
Significant role.
It was a very significant role.
Yeah.
It was a very significant role in the spring of 2021.
Okay.
2021. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then they continued to play a more limited role. There's something called the Joint Technical Committee, which involves representatives from the state and from Orsted and Eversource, and they were involved in that for some time. But the procurement, the construction procurement was by far the most substantial role that they played several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Resolved that the executive director is authorized, empowered, and directed for and on behalf of the Connecticut Port Authority to terminate the memorandum of agreement by and between the authority and the Department of Administrative Services dated August 2nd, 2022. That's interesting.
Yes,
it was. Yeah. Is that modified?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. It was extended. Because the services, as we just described, predated that. So I should say, as updated, August 2nd, 2022, in connection with certain technical services from DAS pertaining to the construction of state pier, as substantially described in the form attached here to, as exhibit to agenda item 9A, and to take such reasonable and necessary actions as required and further considered. Is there a motion?
No.
Moved by Aaron, second by Paul. Questions, comments, discussion? Okay. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. So we've got three more items. I actually thought, I had forgotten that we did get committee assignments on here. So the three that I said I was going to ask to bring up in new business actually becomes two. So I'll start with committee assignments. Just some minor shuffling around. We have, I think Gaffney is a new member, Paul. And Paul, I apologize, I did not acknowledge you at the outset as a new member from DECD. We had former Deputy Commissioner Hodling at our last meeting, who had recently changed positions to Senior Advisor to the Governor for Federal Grants at DECD, and the delegation from now the new Commissioner O'Keefe was to Deputy Commissioner Paul. And so Paul, welcome. I've had the opportunity to work with Paul over the course of many years and very much welcome his participation here.
Well, thank you. And it's great to be amongst this great group, enjoying it. Cheers. Thank you.
So I will read members and we'll send this around, but just for the record here, we will modify Finance Committee ever so slightly to include myself, Doug Delena, Paul Hinch, Gaffney Fesco, John Johnson, Tom Patton, Paul Whitescarver, As we have been trying to do, we'll have co-chairs, one kind of more from the administration, one not. I guess I'm not really from the administration anymore, but I kind of consider myself somewhat in that bucket. So the co-chairs will be myself and Tom Patton. Audit, compliance, and what word am I missing there? Audit, governance, thank you. Audit, governance, and compliance, thank you. Oh, I don't have that same page, probably. Thank you. Will be Doug Delina, Paul Hinch, Tom Gill, Chuck Roman, John Carter with co-chairs, Paul Hinch and Tom Gill. And HR will be Grant Westerson, Brian Thompson, Felix Reyes, John Johnson, Paul Whitescarver, Paul Robertson, and Dave Perillo with co-chairs Brian Thompson and John Johnson. We'll circulate that. As folks know, HR and audit meet twice a year. HR sometimes a little bit more when we're in a hiring process. Audit sometimes a little bit more if we need to with the auditor. Finance meets monthly. Appreciate everyone's continued participation there. I don't think we need to vote on that. I think that's just kind of a prerogative of the chair, unless anyone thinks otherwise. I will entertain a vote to take up, well, I guess first, any old business. Okay, I'll entertain a motion to take up two items of new business, and we'll do them one at a time. So first is Ulysses is going to introduce. We have had some requests for support for federal grant applications to PIDP through MARAD, which has been off-referenced throughout the day today, that we would like to present to you all and get your weigh-in. So the first motion I will entertain is to take up the PIDP grant proposals as an item of new business for discussion.
So moved.
Moved by John, Grant. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay.
Okay, as David indicated, the federal government, just like we do with SHIP, they have another round, if you will, of these grants from the Maritime Administration, Department of Transportation, U.S. Department of Transportation. And several entities in our community, namely Cashman, as well as Gateway, has come to the CPA requesting if, in fact, we would serve as the non-federal sponsor for their particular application that they're going to be submitting to the federal government. These applications are due at the end of April. It turns out that our meeting, our next regularly scheduled meeting is April the 16th. They need to know much earlier than that. And so we're asking if, in fact, you will give me also the authority to engage, if you will, and that is to sign up on behalf of the CPA as a non-federal sponsor for Cashman as well as Gateway, both of whom are looking to improve the infrastructure of their shipyards. This is not something else that's outside of the community and outside of the shipyard in the community. They're both applying to the federal government for infrastructure improvements to the shipyard.
And to be clear, the Cashman is the Ledyard site.
That's right.
And Gateway is
the New Haven site.
The New Haven site.
That's right.
Can you just say briefly what it means for us to be the project sponsor rather than just writing a letter of support?
Yes, and one of the things that I've also indicated to both entities, and they are in agreement, is that if in fact the board were to approve this, that there would be a contract, if you will, of indemnification for any responsibility, either financial or otherwise, with respect to the CPA. I did this also with and we were working on this with Cross Sound Ferry, we have been also a non-federal sponsor for the improvement of the infrastructure at Cross Sound Ferry. But they're going to go out again with this particular round of MARAD grants in April in order to improve their infrastructure at Cross Sound Ferry.
If we support someone like that, does that in any way curtail us from any projects that we might be interested in down the line?
No. No, we're basically issuing, if you will, a letter of support.
I assume these projects need the city's approval.
The
city approvals. And D&D and such?
Oh, and D&D, yeah, yes.
Yeah. Definitely.
So we have any details on what they're proposing to do?
So that's my only fear. Well, if we're for it,
yeah,
and D where the city is against it,
I see.
Where does that put us?
Yeah, unfortunately, we've supported two of these applications. We have been the local sponsor for two applications in the past.
Right.
Both, neither of which have actually ultimately moved into construction, which says nothing about our role therein. It's just something to be cognizant of, to your question about
no fault
relationship. Yeah. So I know, having had a lot of conversations with Marriott about the first one that ultimately did not go forward, there was no further implication to us. I don't
know.
I haven't been in any conversations about Crosstown, but I would assume the same to be true. I don't know anything about the scopes. So Ulysses, I don't know if you're able to share. Sally, you probably know something about New Haven.
So I know a lot about the New Haven one because New Haven has served as the non-federal sponsor two or three times now for that project.
City of New Haven or New Haven Port
Authority? New Haven Port Authority.
Okay.
We have received letters of support from the city of New Haven, as well as from Connecticut Port Authority and the governor's office and so on and so forth. The project in New Haven is to install about a mile of track, something going into one of the gateway terminals that is located on Waterfront Street and attached to a pipeline there. The other one would come out and would actually go a couple of blocks east of the water onto what is known as Connecticut Avenue or East Shore Parkway. It would actually be on property that we own in places. And it would go through a warehouse so that temperature sensitive loading and unloading could be done in the warehouse. Right now, there's one place where there's track in New Haven onto the dock, and there are multiple users, so scheduling difficulties ensue. So this would really enable a whole lot more rail usage in New Haven. There are certain weaknesses and strengths and benefits or whatever. We always get to the final round, and the secretary doesn't sign off on ours. One thing that has come up, though, is that New Haven Port Authority hasn't actually served as a non-local sponsor for anything except the discovery phase of the Army Corps of Engineers deepening project. And I'm not sure Marriott knows that we did. The real sum is that we don't have a proven track record for doing this. And you folks have been granted awards, although it doesn't, but you at least have been granted awards. And so I think it's a stronger partnership, giving New Haven increased rail lines, which would be a great benefit for us.
So New Haven's is all on land, fully supported by the city and the local port authority, and our imprimatur might give it more success. All right, that's fairly straightforward. What about cash?
Like the cash.
Sorry, don't know that.
No,
I know. With respect to Cashman, Cashman is looking to do something similar, and that is expand rail at the shipyard, as well as an extension of an existing dock. So those are
when you say shipyard, this is the new site in correct?
Yes, and Gales Ferry.
Yeah,
put it that way. Yeah.
Okay. Also, all upland improvements.
This is at Dow.
At Dow.
This isn't the one that
this is.
I thought they backed away from that.
This backed away from the quarry.
So that's to the south.
Not the quarry.
That's
okay.
To the south that they
right.
That they just came out of. So this would be to the north.
Yeah.
Because it's a very controversial.
No, it was.
Yes.
We went through that. This is not at all going to the community, if you will, for acquisition of product.
So I guess one of the questions I would have is the PIDP program. Isn't there a match requirements for this? Like if you're in
to the extent that there's a match, they will come up with the match.
Right.
Yes. If I may speak, Gateway has always said
the Port Authority would not be part of any match.
That's right. That's right.
Correct. We would basically just be the fiduciary agent for the federal funds.
And does that require, I guess the other question is, does that require the Port Authority to do any part of the package or writing or anything like that? So the other thing is concerning your capacity to do
that's right. We will write a letter.
Well, okay. They'll write a letter.
That's right.
One good indemnification.
Yeah. Indemnification. We use and we engage our counsel in the indemnification. We did the same thing for Cross Sound.
Yeah, with these, I mean, my understanding is we are essentially the public fiduciary agent because MARAD doesn't want to have direct granting with private entities, but it also means that we're just totally subject to the private entities, you know, ability to bring the project to fruition, which unfortunately we've seen in the past happen.
So just a little historical, I believe, weren't we the fiduciary for a MARAD grant for some, what was that organization down in Norwalk?
Yes.
And
Harbor Harvest.
The boat, yes.
I don't recall what happened after, you know, for that thing, but.
Long story short was we were unable to get the documentation from our private partner to make MARAD happy, and we were stuck in the middle of trying to kind of play the intermediary, and ultimately we were not able to play that role successfully.
So when we agreed to be the fiduciary, does that mean, is that a similar role than we were?
The same role that we played that time would be, we, you know, all the requests for documentation, all the requests for reporting will come to us. And in theory, our private partner is capable, when we just hand it over, they tie a ribbon around it, pass it back to us, we submit it, and it checks all the boxes.
So both Cashman and Gateway are I like them both. They're very professional organizations.
Right. Yeah. That is really what this does come down to, is whether or not we expect them to, you know, put in the work and document it in a way that minimizes or eliminates the work for us.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for that consideration.
So, Ulysses, you mentioned for Cashman a peer component. Now
they're looking to expand. Yes.
Okay. So they already have approval to rehabilitate an existing pre-existing.
And they're already done.
And they're done.
Yes.
Okay. So so this would be expansion. That kicks it into an order permit thing, and who knows.
Yep.
Because that might go to public hearing and, one never knows what happens with that.
Okay.
They have not, so I'm on planning and zoning ledger. So I will tell you, they have not gone to the town or come forward to planning and zoning or any other, for this particular project. They have not come to ledger.
I thought you told them to talk to the planner real quick.
Maybe. I don't know.
I may want to know if they have the money first. Right?
Yeah,
it's tricky. I'm not saying necessarily for this, but in the future, it might make sense to have our role somewhat conditional on a demonstration of local support.
I mean, I don't know about this particular grant program, but oftentimes, you get extra points, or even sometimes it's required that you have all the approvals in place before, before you get the money. So.
Yeah.
So if they don't have those approvals, they may be at a disadvantage anyway.
Right.
Are folks comfortable in this case?
I would say yes, because you can apply and then there's lots of work to do.
Well, we're just supporting the money.
Right.
Yeah, we're not supporting the fact that they're getting approved or I think primarily we're providing a mechanism for them to get the funding.
Yeah.
I just don't want to get ourselves in a position where supporting the money for a project that shouldn't have happened in the first place.
I mean, do we have a better sense of other community support or local government support?
We don't know. We know that other initiatives on that in that vicinity received a lot of pushback. This is within the confines of the existing maritime operations, and so could potentially be viewed differently by the host municipality, although could have other hurdles with local.
So to follow up on that, I mean, I think it might make sense for us over time. I mean, we may not be able to do that in time to, I don't know when this is going to actually come to us, but to have some guidelines about, you know, what are the boxes that need to be checked in order for us as an authority to sign on?
Yeah.
Non-federal sponsor.
Yeah, I completely agree. This one is coming to us now. And so I think we have a decision to make whether or not we want to support it in its attempt to achieve federal funding. But completely agree that we should have some criteria going forward, as this will hopefully become a more regular occurrence.
I guess so. I mean, are we looking to have a resolution added to the agenda today?
Yeah.
Okay. So I would be reluctant unless we have, you know, at the very least some indication of like local government supports this. Whether that's in the form of, you know, legislative or the executive, that's something so we can talk about.
We could proceed two ways. We could defer on this for a special meeting, which I'm certainly comfortable to do in early March, you know, if it's just this item or just some limited number of items, or we could make our approval conditional on a demonstration of municipal support, which would, you know, put Ulysses in a position to work with them to get that, and he would know that he can't execute anything until we see evidence of that.
Yes.
Folks are okay with that latter approach, or
I would add to the conditional approval from the town is just the scope. We would like to see the actual scopes for each project.
It sounds like there's a time of the second one.
You have to have your application in by the end of April.
Yeah,
and you have to have all these approvals before then.
Yeah,
well, you need to know who's applying, and then, right? And it's kind of us who's applying in this instance.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I would also, just part of the discussion is, you know, we brought it up after the finance meeting, but all these PIDP, there's not only these two, but there's some other sites that I think would like to apply, and I would hope that they come to the Port Authority, since we're the semi-government entity, to prioritize these, because there is a limitation of the amount of funds per state, I think it is.
Yeah, right? There is.
Yeah,
per region. But it's a $450 million program.
Yeah.
And I think it's $25 million per
something.
Yeah. I mean, it could be much like we do for SHIP. I mean, you could start kind of going out and drumming up projects and kind of creating a pool. And
but this is what we're here for as the Port Authority.
Yep.
Maritime
economy. Exactly. Okay, so I'll make a motion that we authorize the executive director to submit letters to both Cashman and Gateway indicating our willingness to play a role as local non-federal project sponsor. Conditional on submission of scope, which will be circulated to the board for comment, and conditional upon submission of evidence of local support.
Second
by Grant. Any further discussion? Okay. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstention? Okay, the final item, I would ask for a motion, if folks are interested in continuing this meeting a little bit longer, a motion to take up as new business the proposed legislation to consolidate the airport and the Port Authority into the Airport Authority as a maritime authority, and kind of start to discuss the timeline and our comments on that. We all just saw that legislation for the first time, and so it's an opportunity to share your thoughts. So I'll entertain a motion to take this item up.
So moved.
New business by John. Is there a second? Any second?
Second.
Oh, second of all. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, supermajority. So I'll summarize it very briefly, and Paul and Justina too can add anything if I miss, but we circulated the legislation that we saw coming at, to the Transportation Committee from the governor's office last 2 weeks ago, I guess it was now. It's fairly straightforward. It replaces the Port Authority with a maritime authority, and that will be housed within the Airport Authority. It's pretty, you know, light on details beyond that to be fleshed out over the course of the legislative session. It is a short session, and so it would be acted on by May 8th or not. It goes through the Transportation Committee, so there are multiple steps in that process. It would have a public hearing if it is advanced, which we assume that it will be, so at least some extent. And we want to kind of provide folks with a first opportunity, at least internally, to kind of share their reactions and thoughts. And with that, I open it up for input.
David, I wonder if... And I took a look at this legislation. I wonder if it might be helpful. I just kind of summarized what I think are the key bullet points of what it does. And that yeah. might be a good starting point if I go through that.
Please. Thanks.
And I'll apologize in advance that it's definitely possible that either I missed something entirely or I missed something that somebody else thinks is relevant that I didn't think was big enough bullet, but I'll do my best. So, you know, fundamentally, the legislation first renames the CPA as the Connecticut Maritime Authority and makes that new authority a successor to the CPA, but then makes it a subsidiary to the Connecticut Airport Authority. I think quite significantly, it makes the CAA board the board for the CMA. And again, the CMA stands for Connecticut Maritime Authority. It makes the CAA executive director the executive director for the CMA. This is, I think, again, quite significant about funding and liability, future operations. It explicitly exempts any Connecticut Airport Authority funds, assets, or resources from any litigation or claims against the Connecticut Maritime Authority. So any recourse of a litigant, for example, is only to the assets of the Connecticut Maritime Authority. It exempts the CMA from the State Contracting Standards Board jurisdiction and the definition of a state contracting agency, which is, again, tied to the State Contracting Standards Board. Allows for any agreements necessary between the Connecticut, between the CMA and the CAA to share resources, services, staff, et cetera. And it adds the OPM secretary or secretary's designee to the CAA/CMA board. And then in terms of the expertise that's on this current board, it adds knowledge of international trade and knowledge of or experience with marine transportation as experience or expertise requirements for appointed members of the board, and retains all other powers for contracting, bonding, and all other statutories that the CPA has now, but now all again under the CMA as a subsidiary of the CMA. So those are, the key things that I found. I don't know if anybody saw anything else that maybe should be highlighted.
No, I think that's
a good summary.
I think that's a good summary. Yeah, thank you, Doug. Thoughts, comments? Let's go first.
So how soon do we think the transportation will call a public hearing? Do we have any
weeks? I mean, it's within weeks.
Within weeks.
I don't know the deadline. I don't know if any other kind of administration members are.
It's a short session.
Yeah, it's a short session. Yeah. And so there's a committee deadline, which has got to be several weeks before the end. So that's got to be sometime in early April. And then they get the hearings out of the way. So I don't know what the deadline is for hearings, but it's got to be no later than like March 14th or something like that. So it will be in the next 3 weeks is my guess.
Mm-hmm. How does this move benefit the waterfront? I don't see it. I mean, I know pretty much nothing about commercial ports. That's not why I'm here. When the Port Authority was formed from the Maritime Commission, its earlier predecessor, it was also formed the authority to take care of all the waterfronts in Connecticut. And all the waterfront in Connecticut means the Port of Hartford, and Essex, and Stonington, and Fairfield, none of which many people will say are commercial ports. Well, in the recreational industry that I grew up in and have been in for 65 years, that's commerce. I mean, we pay taxes, we support people, we bring business to every part of the state. And that's what I expect the Port Authority to keep at least part of their one eye on, is the rest of the ports in Connecticut. I don't, maybe I'm short-sighted, but I don't see any benefit to the waterfront of Connecticut by moving to the Airport Authority.
Well, I can say this, as Doug mentioned, as part of the legislation, all the existing objectives of the Port Authority are that are statutory are being simply transferred over.
I understand that, but I also see a major dilution of the efforts. They're not adding more money to our budget. They're not adding more personnel to us. Right now, in the last couple of years, obviously the major focus of this authority has been on the project up here, the state pier. Understandably so. It's a huge project. The only one in the country. Thank God. but I'm concerned about all the little towns that want to put their hand out and I need a transit dock for a couple of recreational boats to come to every weekend. I mean, I want them to have some consideration. I don't see that happening when the bigger picture has an executive director that's splitting its time between all the airports and all the commercial activity that happens there and our three commercial ports.
So if the legislation had in it a separate executive director for the Maritime?
No, I don't think it did.
If it did.
To me, that's not a big enough step. I state my case. That's I'm against it. I don't see benefits to the greater waterfront connection.
So I don't disagree with you, but I would say the things that you mentioned, like the additional manpower to run the CPA, you know, that's where we lack, and that's where the Airport Authority might be able to give us benefit.
I don't think the legislation reflected
it,
that.
It doesn't.
That's a large part of it is the administrative support.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would also say the Port Authority, you know, when I consulted for it in 2019, we've come a long way, and it would really be awful to get rid of all that momentum that we have today. But there needs to be some structural changes in the way we run the Port Authority. What that looks like, I don't know, but all the back end part, the administrative part, is really what has hampered us in our capacity to do things.
And the details have to be ironed out, right? This is very gray black legislation. And so those details could simply be that existing entity right now that we know of as the Port Authority continues. And with the support of the Airport Authority, which would give you those pluses with all the vast human resource personnel they have. But those details have to be ironed out. But that's a big push for this. Is we've always operated on a band-aid approach, you know, not enough personnel, not enough money, all those things. So the money is what it is. That's the safest effort. The personnel would be huge.
And we finally have revenues coming in where we could actually do something. It would really, as David would say, you know, every economic development organization lacks capacity to do what they'd like to do. I mean, I know I do in the sector. We just don't have the capacity to get out there and create, you know, what we love to create. It's tough.
The challenge has always been with a very small organization, how do you meet the government's requirements as it relates to purchasing, to hiring, you know, all those kind of steps that are not central to the mission, but are necessary to support the mission. I don't know that we can modify the legislation in a way that gets us that through CAA, but meets the board's concerns, valid concerns about making sure that the mission has a focus on it, making sure that it has senior staff that are dedicated to it, making sure that it has a mechanism for industry input in the way that our board currently does. But I think that's the question. I think that's the question that has now been put before us is, are there changes that we would propose? And we'll have an opportunity, and you'll all have an opportunity to suggest so at the public, through the public hearing process. Is there a way to evolve the legislation, which the administration expects? They expect a fleshing out of detail. Is there a way to do that in a way that lends the capacity of the Airport Authority to our mission without diluting the senior staff and external expertise and group of people that are focused specifically on the coast and its commercial opportunity?
Or do we not support it?
Right.
We talked about this after the finance committee, and a lot of that is the leadership. I know David is kind of hinting that he's, you know, after July, he's, you know, do something different. You know, so what does the leadership of the board look like? What does the executive director position look like? I don't know what Ulysses' plans are, but I think that would go a long way if we solidify what that looks like as well to the board. And I don't have the answer to that. What was that?
You're not raising
it. Yeah.
Any other thoughts?
Well, you know, we've all wailed about and complained about the size of this board. And I think the proposal is to shrink it to 5 or whatever it is. But I would support the fact that we have a board as big as we have, because I think we do get input from both industry and from the maritime and the marine recreational industry. We get input from all those factors, and that's a good thing.
And you wouldn't have it in the CAA.
And my fear is we won't have that.
Yeah.
And you know something, I think having the three mayors here from the three major ports is a good thing. I think it's a fabulous thing, and we're not going to have that. And I think that the maritime marine initiatives are going to slacken off once we get swallowed up by the Airport Authority. I don't think the Airport Authority is in favor of this. At least that's what I've heard through the grapevine. And you know, if they're not supportive of it, well, where does that put us? And you know, when the merge might happen in October. You know, one of the biggest things that the marine industry and the maritime industry have always fought for is depth of water. And we finally are, you know, the ship program came out of our initiatives. We need depth of water. The industry needs depth of water, whether it be 50 feet or whether it be 30 feet or 12 feet, whatever it might be. But we are finally getting, our dredging projects have increased tenfold, I'm sure, since our inception. And we know where our dredging was when we were in the 2016, 2015, 2014. We are an advocate for the industry, and I don't think we're going to have that if we merge. Never mind Connecticut Maritime Commission or whatever. We've done that. We've been down that road before we became an entity. And we had no voice. We had no clout at all. CPA has given that clout to us. And when I say us, I'm talking about the marine maritime industries. I'm totally opposed to this merger, and I think it's very little benefits have come out of it. We've done a fabulous job with our leadership in getting the pier project done, and you know the future is all in front of us, and it's rosy. Now that we've got the project done,
so we're certainly not going to resolve this today. I'm going to suggest that we are going to inevitably have a special meeting sometime before our next meeting during this legislative session to reconnect on this topic when we have the benefit of, you know, additional feedback from the legislature, from the public hearing, from the administration. What I would encourage you all to do, though, in the meantime, is not just to form an opinion on this solution, but to think about what the solution is, because if this doesn't end up coming to fruition, we still end up in a situation of a lack of capacity, being a small quasi, has to outsource a lot, and we still need to solve for that. And so I understand that this may not be the answer for everyone. So think through, what would tweaking this as a solution look like to address some of your concerns? Think through what an alternative would look like, and what steps you would take as a continued independent port authority to make the case for that, and then we'll come back together and talk through these options. I don't. You can all have whatever opinion. Obviously, you're entitled to your opinion, but I'd rather not have our opinion just be yes or no. I'd like our opinion to either be yes, but with these changes, or no, but here's our path forward that presents a viable alternative. And I think either of those would be welcomed by the administration and by members of the legislature, because we're on the ground, we're the ones that have been closest to this for the last several years, and we're best positioned to recommend a path forward.
And I would just add that we talked earlier after the finance meeting. I think there's no reason for us to wait for you to wait to talk to the CAA. Yeah. At this point,
I'll reach out.
The quicker you get comfortableness or not, the better.
Yeah. And so if you have points that you want to make sure Ulysses and I bring to those discussions with the CAA, let us have them.
Sooner than later. Yeah.
If you need any, I'll be more than happy to participate.
Okay. With that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved by Grant. Is there a second? Second by John. And meeting is adjourned at 2:01. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.